with a remarkable visit of Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday after supper, the 28th of December, 71. Mm-hmm. Channel 2 right, and beginning of this remarkable visit of Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday after supper, the 28th of December, 71. Channel 2 right, and beginning of this remarkable visit of Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday after supper, the 28th of December, 71. Channel 2 right, and beginning of this remarkable visit of Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday after supper, the 28th of December, 1971.
But he's got a plastic house, and he's got, and I'm going to tell you, they air conditioned.
Well, you know, I guess he didn't.
Well, yeah, in the wintertime, and in the summertime, it's air conditioned.
We haven't had to turn the heat up yet.
Yeah. How you getting along?
I think it's getting worse. Instead of better.
Well,
that open face hot in here.
We're just going to have to give you a beat.
Well, if it's...
Well, what do you think we ought to do with
just
it?
Give him a beat.
Fix it so it'd be comfortable for you. We can stand it.
Well, I tell you, I had that stove on, and it's too hot for it.
Yeah. What y'all got, your new stove?
No.
So, it's about to burn us out, and I just sat here with my coat on. Isn't that something?
That's all right.
Hey, it's right along here, isn't it, guys?
Oh, yeah.
What does the doctor say to you?
Haven't seen a doctor.
That sounds like it might be a kidney infection, that low down.
Well, Marvin, it starts down low. Way down there where I haven't gotten the kidneys.
And works. Yes.
It's up there now. Well, it might be a few kidneys.
There must be arthritis or something.
Well, it ain't the joint.
It's not in the gym.
No, it's in the
muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like you?
I went out there this afternoon and thought I'd do a little work. And I rolled through the barbed wire and I was that burn. I hardly get back on the tractor.
Mm.
Well, you just sure better go somewhere and see something about yourself.
Yeah. I think it's laziness. Count.
Well, you might not be any count, but that's true that something's causing it.
I'm working so long. I got out there, of course, had pain in the back, and the perspiration just rolled off. You know how it is when you, like you have a spell of sickness. And you go
out. Weak, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's take him down to Oak Keller and have him x-rayed.
I think I'll take him down there not to give him any.
Do it.
I need to go down there now.
It's still
go down that
excuse me, Miss.
Take him to Dr. Gibbons.
Oh. It could. It still could be a kidney infection.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, them things, you know, they act all kind of ways sometimes.
And it might not
affect you in different locations.
It wouldn't have to be right over the kidney.
No, I don't think so, because you know there's leaders and ligaments and things that leads off from your kidney. Could you know well that? Well, be that. You know what I mean?
You know, back in those days, people very often got down in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it could have been a variety of things, couldn't it? And sometimes they just stayed down the back a long time, didn't they?
That's right. Well, have you ever heard of lumbago, they call it, ain't that right, lumbago?
Yeah.
That's a muscle rheumatism.
Yeah.
And it could be that.
Yeah, and it don't have to be at any
place. That's right,
place.
It can be in the muscle of your back. That's where it gets.
Yeah. Well, I had this about a month ago, and it started down there and kept coming up. And it finally got way up down on my shoulder. That sounds like my big old when it gets way up there.
Yeah, I guess.
And it shifts around from one place to another. Yeah.
Well, if a man has to get on a tractor, it's right to bed. But he can't get on it.
Oh, it's too high. It's too high. I'll have to take the ladder along. Walk up.
But
well, I've been grumpy all day. We haven't done a thing. We're just sitting here and sort of act grumpy.
Do you ever sit around that grumpy?
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been doing all during the holidays, just sitting around watching other people and listening to what they have to say and not say much and listen and look and wonder what they gonna say next.
You got a house full of roses, sitting in a house full of roses.
Have you got any poinsettias?
Yeah.
Well, I've got some poinsettias. He brought me some poinsettias.
That's what I need to do about that time.
They're in pots.
Ready potted.
Oh.
You raise them too?
No, I don't raise them. I might get into that, but I'm not into
but
it.
But they raised out there, were they?
Yeah, they raised out there, but I'm not. Now, them roses I'm in charge of.
He is the rose man.
Right now.
Oh, you are?
Well, that was pushed on me.
Yeah, you didn't ask for it.
No, I didn't ask for that. That was pushed on me.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do anything nicer.
You know, that, among other things, is what I do.
You have to fix them to suit yourself. They're just stuck in that water.
No, I take them stems might be too long for you.
They never get
them.
Too long, rose stems don't.
Oh.
Usually, you know, you have to cut them so short.
We usually cut them way back, way down. And then they grow out so fast.
I've had some of these prettiest things come, well, they call them japonicas, and camellias too. But this is the first year.
No, I haven't been down to the room.
It's always been to go on.
I bet there's a nest of them down in the room, but I haven't been
but
down.
But they really are pretty. Mrs. Dot gave me that bush.
Is that
we got a nursery of japonicas in the azaleas. Out there. I haven't been down there in 3 months, I guess. I don't know how it
looks. Yeah. And you got some there at the house?
I got one that Mrs. Dodd gave me.
Well, she don't go in much for flowers.
And this is the first year I've had any blooms across all these soil.
The insects are so bad. It's hard to raise flowers. Now, we have to fight insects inside all the time. inside the greenhouse. They just come and that's it. Mostly the spider, the red spider.
See that? Let me see. That was Christmas Eve.
Friday.
Was that when I come back your house?
I guess. You left a note.
Yes. Well, anyhow.
I think it was Friday.
I put Faye on the plane and came on back and stopped in town and came on over to our first time I'd had a minute, you know, got loose. Something been going on. Not important. But something's been going on over here. I went by your house first thing. Now, Christmas Eve. That's some time to go visit somebody. I didn't go.
Well,
I
was just trying
remember.
To think where
Friday. What was that?
Oh, I know. We was over at his sister's house.
Yeah, I guess so, because we went over there.
Curtis and his wife and Eugene, my grandchildren, was all going to be
That's
at
right.
Nudia's, and they wanted
That's
me over
right.
there.
Oh, I see.
And we went over there.
Oh, Christmas, yeah, that's right.
We went over there, and they had a Christmas tree, and all of them got just gobs of presents.
Oh, they went in for presents.
Oh, yeah. And they'll, I guess, be all the year paying for them.
Yeah. Where do they live?
Over there on the Orange Heights Road. That's right. Are you speaking?
No, I'm just cooking some apples that needed to be cooked for tomorrow.
Well, now, if you are...
No, just cooking.
We've had supper. And y'all don't let us hinder you.
Just cooking some apples.
We never stand on ceremony. Never.
They brought us some old, mighty West Virginia apples. Somebody did, and this is the last album. I would just put them over there to cook for a little bit.
I was down at Mr. Palmer's store. I went down there to get some barbeye, and he had some pecans, what was left over. I walked around there. He had them and almost walked into them. I had a big wash tub half full. Mm. He said that's all that was left from Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they were a big thing. And he says, but they just half full of meat.
That's right. I got some. It was the same way.
But he says, people rather have these great big ones. You can't tell them in a different.
No.
And I guess they'd pay a premium for them. I don't know.
I imagine they'd do.
Well, they were big. So big, long.
Mm-hmm. Big Curtis, I guess they call him.
Oh, yes. And his brother grew him. His brother up in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, how far up in Georgia is your brother? He says, in Cordelia. Well, not to Cordelia, not high up. It's down in Beaufort, Georgia.
Sure.
And I saw the crop fail. He says, not many of them made. And his brother laid it to spraying. And he sprayed several times.
Hmm.
He said he had the biggest pecan crop he'd had in 30 years, ever had. And
he'd
been out there for 30 years.
This year?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And not many had it. He said, now he told me the kinds, but I've forgotten. He said, some of them, they sell for 60 cents and some of them for 40 cents. Right there in the grove, the semi backs up there and they load them. And
there's good money in them things, you know, when you raise them.
And on one picking or shaking or whatever they call it, he sold 65,000.
Can you imagine?
One. That was the third picking.
Hmm.
And Miss Palmer didn't talk like he was a big shot or a big operator or anything. But he just had, you see, I don't know how.
Well, after this year, he could be a big shot, couldn't he? I mean,
Miles,
kind of
what'd you have to pay for your barbed wire down there?
Oh, he didn't have any.
He didn't?
Oh, he didn't.
No, he had some of this old stuff that was one wire.
Oh.
That's all he had. He's all out. They hadn't delivered. Let me tell you, since Wynn's has closed, these people down here, people don't like them. They don't trade down there. So they all go down to Mr. Palmer's.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't stay in stock. And post and wire and lots of things like that.
Mm.
Now, that's the fella that built over there on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down there one
day. People don't like him.
Don't like him. There's two men and the one or two women. And I said to Barry, you know, the man just walked back there. I says, I don't have much personality. Anyway. And it said, not much. It's kind of hard to trade down there. So they don't do much. And I think they're going down to Johnny Palmer's. He's the closest one, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find any short staples. And I don't need them long staples.
I think I know where you can find some, or could. Try J.E. Thrasher and making up. He had the short one.
Some
he had
for some time.
Yes, that's
right. Miss Martin,
they're good staples. I mean, they're not,
because we just,
they're not rusted. They're
just
about, they're
no,
just
ma'am,
about so long.
No,
you know,
I hate to say no, but I can't.
It takes pretty good
fun
to hold them long.
It does.
I just can't drink any coffee.
It will, Marvin?
No, ma'am, thank you.
Okay, well, you'll just have to have
a little. We just got up on the table. I had supper. I cooked some peas.
We got up.
And I cooked some beef stew and cornbread.
Done our feeding, and I come in and overdone it at the table.
Yeah.
As usual.
Well, I did, too, because I didn't eat any dinner.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad to know that you can get some little short staples somewhere.
Yeah, I'll go by there.
I got the last ones I got them there, and it don't seem to cost any more than what they do in town.
Yeah.
15
cents
pound? No, I think they're probably a little more than that. I don't remember now what they are. It might be 15 cents. I don't know. I just don't remember. I think they're a little bit more than that. I believe it.
You know, it's funny. I haven't had any of those staples in a year or more. I've asked for them, and I can't find them.
Hmm.
Isn't that something about that traffic down there?
Oh, that is something,
yeah,
ain't it?
Rough. And it closed. Nobody else can get in, and the road's just plumb full of people wanting to get in.
15 miles.
Yeah.
Isn't
backed out 15 miles.
Crazy.
I think so, Miss Mary.
It's just pure crazy.
Well, I wouldn't fight that traffic down there for the whole place.
Hmm.
I mean,
they
you know,
have it.
If they have to give it to you to fight the traffic, what would you have when you got there? Just a bad headache.
I just didn't go out there and just work the road.
Yeah.
If I could work pretty things like that, I think I'd
die. 15 miles. My goodness.
I know a fella who never had enough roses, and he started buying them. And he'd buy one or two little rose bushes, you know, put them out. He don't know, never did know anything about Lee over there on Goldberg. He never knew anything about planting, but everything he plants seems to grow.
Mm-hmm.
he got so he had roses all over that place. He had so many roses he couldn't pick them all.
Hmm.
And then he just burned out on roses, didn't he, Faye?
He got scared of the spray.
Got scared of the spray.
He got scared that, the spray he'd have to use would make him have sinus or something. And he just quit spraying and his roses went away.
Well, there's about 5 or 6 different kinds of spray you can use. You have to keep
That's what I'm
changing.
Afraid about him. I'm, you know, that some of that stuff is so dangerous.
Well, I handle sprays, but not the real deadly ones. No.
I wouldn't handle any deadly stuff, because I know what it would get the first thing. It'd get me.
No, I use Saigon, at Gilacron and Benelate and more soap than anything else.
Yeah.
Soap?
Soap, yeah, well, it's a detergent, it's a liquid soap, is what it amounts to. They call it the name of it is Basic H, but it, all it is soap and water, is what it amounts to.
You spray with that?
Yeah. Well, it puts a film on your,
yeah,
on your leaf,
yeah,
and it makes it shed the water.
And he lets the back mold and stuff eat up my plants. And he's got spray right there at the house now, and a spray gun he brought to.
Well, I looked for spiders on yours, and I didn't see no spiders.
Well, you should spray them anyway.
But
it does them good, I believe.
Spray some of that, what do you call it, H?
Basic H.
Basic H on.
Well,
I
guess that's
no.
It. Somebody told me if I get out there and wash the camellia leaves. Now, can you see me washing the camellia leaves?
Yeah.
I was foolish enough to do it one time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of leaves.
Oh.
Well, ooh. I mean, you know, you can spray them. It'll take that black leaf, a lot of it off, that soap. And, of course, I think that, you want to kind of watch your soap and your detergents. You know, you can get certain kind. I don't know about this enzyme stuff, whether that will
you left
damage
your
plant or
that
not.
Plant?
I got back Sunday. I just was there two days, two nights. Got back Sunday afternoon. Couldn't do it. I did well to get up and get back at that time. I was afraid he was going to be real sick.
Oh, yes, right. Down back then.
And he had temperature?
Mm-hmm.
So you see. But you know, you can get up there and shower, something like that. Problem.
Not me.
Her mama had been sick.
Uh-huh.
She wanted to check on
Mama. She's not wet. She usually comes down here, you know, like on Christmas Day, a lot after. That's usually when they bring her.
Yeah,
she wasn't well enough to come.
Put it off for a while.
And you had roast beef tonight?
No, ma'am. I just had a little beef.
Oh,
I put onions and ketchup in it, and it was really good.
And what did you do?
Put onions and ketchup in it.
Yeah.
Cooked it down real low, you know, kind of.
Made a thick gravy.
And it was good. I just ate so much.
I don't know why Miss Mary doesn't teach me to cook.
You ought to go over there.
Oh, she knows more about cooking than I do.
But look what she cooks.
Only thing I can make is that salad, Miss Mary.
Yeah.
She
can't live on that.
She needs to teach me to cook. No, sir, I'll cook me some UV to put it on, and I don't like too much water in it. And I let it boil until it got good and tender, and it just began to fry. And then I cut me up an onion in it, and I got me a bottle of ketchup and put me some ketchup in it. And I baked me some cornbread.
Oh, did you?
Look at that. Baby looks better already.
I cooked some cornbread and I had me some peas. I cooked me some peas and I ate and ate and ate. That was the best. That's the best I had all during Christmas.
Yeah, that's, you know, it is better than anything else.
They had so much food over yonder at his sister's the other night, so it honestly made me sick. Look at it.
It did, just
there
about anything you wanted to see.
There were cakes and pies and cakes and pies and
fruit cakes and pound cakes and pies and pumpkin pies
and roast turkey and turkey dressing and turnip greens and mustard greens and all such messes that. I don't see no sense in anybody having all that kind of old crap.
All
in
one time.
There must have been a lot of people there.
Just do this chore. And
their wives.
We was over there, you know, at your house one night. How do you get that name?
That's a nickname.
That's just a nickname.
Yeah.
When she was little.
Mm-hmm. No.
Her name is Beatrice.
No, we had had a college fellow working for us, and she was was doing blackberry seed, and Mama would the colored people called stew. They would stew blackberries and put dumplings in them, and they called it a dougan. And she wanted Mama to make some blackberry dougan, and she couldn't say dougan. She said duty, and that old colored man, he gave her that name duty. So that's where she inherited that name.
Say that again, Marvin. I didn't quite find you. They had some blackberry.
Yeah, them old broadberries, you know, regular old broadberries, and they'd stew them down and put dumplings in them.
Instead of making a pie,
they'd make a
blackberry dougan.
They call it dougan. Blackberry dougan. And Beatrice wanted Mama to make some of it. And she got after Mama to make her some dougan. And she couldn't say Dugan, she said Duty.
Uh-huh.
And the old colored man called her Duty from then on.
He picked that up.
That's where she got the name Duty.
Yeah, that's cute. Now that was at your mama's house.
Mm-hmm.
Blackberry Dugan.
Yeah. Just like that baby that was born in my house, I called him Scooter Pooper. And he always went by that name and regularly does today.
Scooter Pooper.
His name was William Henry.
Yeah.
And just time he come into the world, I said, well, hello, Scooter Pooper. And he went by that name, Scooter Pooper.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Scooter Pooper.
That's good. Scooter Pooper. And you know, children get way long before they shed the names, and sometimes they never do.
Never, my sister. To us, I mean, you know, other people call her by her name, but the family calls her Duty, and that's it.
Yeah. Now, what's she like? Is she like Marvin?
No, she'd make two of Marvin.
About like Ellamy, I guess. Not quite. She's not quite as large as Ellamy.
Yeah, I don't know. Duty's up yonder.
Well, is that a sample of what she lives on?
Mm-hmm.
She eats like that?
Well, she don't. Really, she diets all the time.
Yeah.
But then it don't seem to do any good. Oh, yeah, Marvin and I, we haven't bought the first thing. He kind of got hurt at me. He wanted to buy me a car, and I wouldn't let him.
Well, what sort of a wife are you? He wanted to buy you a car and you wouldn't let him.
Well, I think that I've done him a... I think I'm good to him.
I had done that favor, I guess.
That was some present.
And then,
if I'd have bought one, it'd been 72.
And then, Friday evening, I said, let's go to the bank and get some money and go down there and get it. And got over to Hawthorne. I made him deposit his check.
Well, you asked me to. You didn't make me do it.
Oh, you do.
Every bit of it. I made him go put every bit of his check in the bank.
Well, that was the best part.
Well, you know, and I would tell you, these cars.
Yeah.
They're high.
They cost money. I want to get my house.
You know, I heard.
If I ever can find
it. Yesterday, where you. 71. Plymouth, and the 71s was off $500. No.
Yeah.
Cause that's the kind to buy.
And well, I would think so too.
Well, now there's one of those Plymouth models.
They cost so much. Till if he wants a Ford, he might as well buy a Ford.
Yeah.
Well, I would think a Ford would be off too.
Yeah.
A 71.
Yeah, well, yes, but you can't find them. I mean, anything you want, you just can't find the 71s. They just don't have them.
Is that right?
I looked for 71s. They just don't.
Well, you've been out looking for shopping for.
I've just been looking around. You know, not actually shopping, just, you know, go by a place and look, see.
You found one down at Ocala.
And then I hear lots on the radio, you know, that different dealers, you know.
You found a 6-cylinder Ford Maverick.
772.
And it was automatic transmission, white sidewall tires, had radio and heater in it. But wasn't air conditioned, and I don't want no air conditioned car.
Well, it had air conditioned, but I told him that you couldn't stand air conditioned, so I wouldn't settle for no air conditioning.
You don't care if air
conditioned? I can't.
You can't stand it.
Makes me hurt.
Some kind of an allergy.
No, it hits rheumatic
condition. It's, but it then it's something about it. It just doesn't work right.
Gives you rheumatism.
Mm-hmm. It makes me hurt. This makes me hurt all over.
You can't take air conditioning in a house.
Let me tell you, all my life I used cold water, cold showers, you see. Until 4 or 5 years ago out there, I'd go out there in that little trailer, I'd take a shower. Until I took a shower, cold shower, and it broke my back. And I never have understood why cold water would affect anybody.
Well, it's that rheumatism in you.
As soon as it would hit that place in his back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would just break my back.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all at once. All at once. And I don't know whether it's still doing not, but I'm afraid to try.
It will.
I'm afraid to try. Once it starts, do you think it just keeps?
I think so.
Did you rub your back with anything?
I haven't so far. I was just cussed.
Well,
I'm going to get some. What should I get?
Well, I'll tell you, I get sodas. hawthorn. And that is the best that I have found.
Somebody told me that they knew somebody, if they put their feet, got their feet wet in the dew, it would clot their blood, and they could feel the knots in their veins.
Mm.
Did you ever hear anything like that?
No. No.
That backache is something I know I've had it.
I have too. I've had a lot of that back trouble.
It's probably kidney.
It might not be. Yeah, it might not be, but you should go to a doctor. You should try to find out.
John Van Arnhem, and Ms. Van Arnhem was better than a doctor. She's a nurse, and she knew what a doctor knew. And all I had to do was just drive over there, or call over there, and she'd come by here. I tell you, that was a great loss when they moved to town.
It sure went to the whole area.
Oh, yes. You've got those, why'd you get that car business in your head, Marvin? You've got that little Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to get out.
She needs a car to get around in. Oh, she got that pickup out there.
Well, don't it work pretty good?
Yeah, it does.
I just didn't have a pickup car because you set up where you see it.
Good enough for me. I don't go anywhere. I appreciate it. But
no, I carried the car through inspection today and it stood dead, so it must be all right.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're giving them the going over now.
Oh, they are.
They're really putting them through it.
What makes you say that?
Well, they're checking everything. Mileage, everything.
Oh, did you know that our neighbors will soon be gone? The Geigers?
Oh, the Geigers.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
He said about 8 more days.
Is that right?
I called them up yesterday, I believe, and talked to them. And they're getting rid of the oranges, and he said about 8 more days. And they'd be gone. I said, well, we sure hate to see y'all go. He said, we hate to go. I guess we'll have to go now. You know, if I'd have known that they was going to sell that place, I'd have bought it.
I think that was a good buy.
If I'd have known it, I would.
Of course, they wanted cash money, but
it would have been mine tonight.
It wouldn't cost you any more to borrow some money than it would just to pay.
I wouldn't have borrowed no money.
A little bit at the time, so you'd have just about had to borrow some money on something.
Well, I'd have sold my dummy place.
Well, I'd still be borrowing the money.
I'd have sure sold it and bought it.
And I bought the Mr. Geiger.
Mm-hmm.
Just as sure as I'm sitting here tonight, I'd have it.
Well,
my house has been redone, and it's, as far as I know, in good shape.
Oh, that house, they really redid that.
And the inside is good.
I don't need a house that bit large.
And it come furnished. I mean, you know, it's...
Oh, really?
Left all the furniture and everything in it.
Oh, no.
They didn't?
No, sir.
Well, I thought they were.
Miss Geiger told me she was taking it.
Well, now, it's going to cost them more to help move that furniture and they could...
But just as sure as I'd have known it, I'd have sold that damn place and I'd have...
Well, the tractor goes with it.
Yeah, they don't have use for that.
and they bought a bunch of new equipment for the tractor.
My goodness.
That goes low.
But I just didn't know it.
You know, that's shameful. When I bought this place, the whole countryside here was just waiting for them to sell it. And I just nosed in ahead of them. I got the word quicker they did. And I told the real estate man to come over here and buy it. But, you see, it was just pure accident that I found out about it.
That's right.
Furthermore,
he sold my boat, my motor, and my trailer.
Why, Miss Mary?
Sure did.
Well, it didn't have any use.
Man come along and offered us more than what we give for it. And I told him, I said, let it go. I said, if we ever take a notion, we'll buy us a smaller boat.
Well, now, I had hoped to take a spin in that.
It's gone now.
But you got more than you paid for.
Oh, yeah. And,
well,
otherwise, I would have kept it.
And it was a large boat. It was too large for me. I couldn't handle it.
And
I couldn't go out fishing. And we found out that he didn't have time to do it. And so we let it go. This fellow wanted it.
He wanted it. He wanted it by him.
He sure did.
He just passed by that son.
No, it's one of my boss men. Professor. At this university.
And he knew about it through you. And knew you all weren't using it, just sitting there.
He told me before we bought it, and still says, anytime you want it, come and get it and use it all you want to.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, that's a marvel.
Well, I mean, that's just being nice. I don't know now.
Well, I bet you it's not.
But really, it wasn't the kind of boat you wanted.
No, it was.
No,
it's
large, too large.
It was a little large.
We knew it when we bought it, but we got it at a bargain, and
a good Christmas present, Miss Mary. You made some money.
And Marvin couldn't take off time and go fishing when he's home on Saturday. It's fenced to build.
Yeah, it's something to
ground fix or something.
And usually the weather is too bad on the weekends to go fishing.
And, you know, the battery went dead.
Yeah, battery
just
was down.
Just setting up, and the motor,
yeah.
the motor ought to be run 3 or 4 times a week.
Any motor should be started at least once a week.
And we just found out that we just had something that we didn't have no use for, and this man was just crazy for it and crazy enough to
He likes to guff fish, and that was a good guff boat. You go out 10, 15 miles, something like that, and without any trouble. So, that's more or less what he was after.
Well, you had it at any rate. You had one.
It sure did.
And say, you used to own a boat and motor, can't you?
That's the whole work.
What was it? 50 horsepower?
45.
That thing naturally did go.
Four-cylinder motor kicker.
When you was out on the lake and the wave come across it, you didn't feel it. Is that right?
It didn't bounce you around.
Yeah.
You just kept going around. I had 2 or 3 good rides on the lake, all over the lake with it.
Up and down the river.
And
don't forget the Suwannee.
Yes, the Suwannee River.
You know, that's it. That's it. That's the same thing about a horse. I see these horses out here. Every time I look at them, makes me tired. Because I know what they want to do. They want to go ride. And I don't want to go ride.
Well, you take a boat and motor like that, that's a fine investment for somebody that likes to fish and likes to ride and is retired, and don't have anything much to do but that. If he wants to go fishing, he can go fishing. If he wants to go for a boat ride, joy ride, he can go for a joy ride and don't have to worry about what's behind him.
Well, what did you all used to use on the lake, Marvin, when you was back before they got all these high power things?
Oh, we used boats. We had motors. We built our own boats.
Yeah. But you just have a little
skiff, yeah.
Little light motor.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just saves you paddling. It wouldn't take you
that's
that
right.
Fast.
Well, now, I had a 12 horse wizard. It would run just about as fast as that 45 on the boat that I had it on.
Oh, really?
It would move on down.
He bought that when he was bootlegging. When he was singing, bootlegging fish.
That 12 horse wizard was that.
That's right.
That motor.
You got it so he could outrun the game board.
That motor that Billy Dupree, you know, was had been, he was demonstrating it in the marshes.
Well, I wasn't listening to you then, Mother. I was listening to everybody at you.
What are you going to do with her?
Tell him how many fish you caught one night. He wouldn't believe it.
I don't. Fish that one night.
He made $800 one night.
Marvin Townsend.
Not one night.
He did. He sure
well, what
did.
What are you doing working at Oak University? Let's go in partnership. That's what
that
I
was a long time ago.
He sure did. Made $800 one night and quit.
Hey, I was smart.
He hit the jackpot and quit.
No,
he had to.
I've caught 5,000, 6,000 pounds a lot of nights. Speckle perch, brim.
Trout. I tell you, you wouldn't believe it, but we've had 3 and 4 tubs plumb full of trout fish sitting in our backyard at one time. As big as you ever seen.
Well, we wouldn't sell them trout. We didn't try to sell them.
They weren't as many game wardens as them things as they were now, though.
Well, what was the moonshining part of it?
There wasn't no moonshine, it was just bootlegging.
That's
fish.
I mean bootlegging. What was the bootlegging part?
Well, it wasn't, it was against the law to train them and sell them without you transport them to Georgia.
Oh.
So you had to get them in Georgia before you could sell them.
Well, what in the world is that?
Hmm?
Is it not that way now? Is it?
Yeah. Sure
is. No, you can't even sell them now in Georgia. Georgia competed with Florida. You can't even sell scale fish in Georgia. Against the law.
If Georgia was a open season, like it would be open season here.
Yeah.
Right.
If Georgia was open, well, we could still transport a few out of the state into Georgia, but we can't do it anymore.
And sell them in Georgia?
Yeah.
But they won't let you sell them in Florida?
No. Not scale fish. I mean, you know, freshwater fish.
Yeah. Only freshwater fish you can handle out is catfish?
That's all. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is saved for the sportsmen.
Well, that's right.
But you filled up with the freshwater fish, with the brim and the
bass and speckled perch, you know, crappie.
$800 worth of right smart fish, wasn't it?
That's quite a few fish, yeah.
Well, there was his brother and James and the Bob Knight boys. Oh, there was a crowd of them. Rob Roy and Snow and all of them was singing.
Yeah, there was
Albert John's down here.
Well, just about there's lots of people bootlegging fish here.
But they had their own buyers, you know.
Uh-huh.
How would they?
I've been out a million night watching for them geezers.
Have you ever boat right around the water?
What would you do if somebody come?
Well, Dick was buying them. Dick Wilkerson. And he'd come down there, send Tiny down there, and tell me to get them boys off of that lake. And I'd get in the car and away I'd go.
And honk at him?
That's right. They know.
Well, I've
go down there and blow the horn or have a flashlight or going, and they'd know to scadoodly out of there.
Where'd you go?
And let me tell you something funny.
Just move out, just get out.
The game warden got off after him. And he come very near catching a bunch of them. And, or did he get your old net? No, he was watching them, see. The game wardens was down there watching for them to go out. Or how was that? But anyway, they slipped up behind the game wardens and stole.
Oh no, no, the game
stole the nets.
They got they run us off of the net and got it, and we had it hid, and they run us off of it and they found it. Well, they figured that we would come back and get it, and they would catch us. And we just let it go for about 2 or 3 days, and they stayed with it. And one of them would stay with it all the time.
One of the wardens?
Yeah. Day and night. So we knew it. We was watching them, too. So me and Pat, we decided, well, now, I told Pat, I says, I know how we can get that net if you game to go with me. And he said, well, I'm game, but how are we going to get it? I said, we'll go down here to Pine Island. We'll wade across the marsh. The water's about that deep. And the water was only about neck deep out there where the net was. And I said, we'll catch the man on the other side of the tussock, away from the net, out of the, you know, it's wind. It was pretty cool. He'd be on across out of the wind. We won't have to make no fuss. We'll just ease up there and ease the boat off. And it loaded. It won't make any fuss. It just wade along, you know, if you're in water along here, well, you're not making any noise. It's just a riff on that side.
Just up your chin.
Yeah. So we just caught a hold up and eased it right on out across the marsh. And him sitting on the other side of the tussock, didn't even know there's anybody in 5 miles of it.
You and who?
Me and my brother.
Stole it and carried it to Pine Island. The next day they went and got it.
Yeah, well, we fished it a whole lot since then. And they didn't know where that net went. And they said they was going to catch me. They put out a report that it was going to catch me and Pat, but they never did. Me and my brother, Pat.
Yeah.
They had to catch you at it.
Yeah, well, they had to catch us at it. That's right.
Yeah.
Then Nigel tried, but they didn't do it.
What'd they do?
Mr. Michael said that he was going to catch Marvin Townsend before he retired, but he didn't.
He didn't do it. The poor fella, you know, he tried hard enough.
What'd he do?
We just stayed a step ahead of him.
What'd he do? He'd catch up with you.
He'd hide out. And I'd know it.
They never did find out what went with that net.
No, they never did know what went with it.
Now you all just walked out there,
yeah.
Waited out there,
yeah.
Back of the tussock, and then you pulled the net.
Yeah, boat. It was in a boat.
The net was in a boat,
coiled up in a boat.
Oh, it wasn't out.
No, it wasn't spread out. No, we hadn't spread it out. It run in on us before we spread it out.
Well,
just,
they caught you ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just pulled the boat then, over to Pine Island, somewhere.
Across the marsh.
And come on in.
That's right.
And then they got the truck and went down there and got it.
That's right.
And they never missed it.
Sure they missed it.
When they missed it?
It may have been 5 minutes after we got it, but they didn't know which way it went.
But you caught them when they was there where they couldn't see.
Yeah, they was nodding, and we just eased up there and got it. And if they would have come around there, well, I had it planned. They couldn't have done anything about it. I mean, they couldn't have called us. But they had me piece of reed pole about that long. All I had to do is stick that in my mouth and duck under. As long as that reed pole didn't go under the water, I could breathe.
Yeah.
Why, what? So you just stay submerged.
Yeah, just stay submerged till they quit looking and then come up or maybe move on.
But they knew
moving.
You was in on it.
Yeah, they knew I was in on it.
How'd they know you was in on it?
Well, they knew everybody was in on it.
They knew everybody.
Yeah, they knew just about who was fishing it.
Well, how would they get that information?
Well, different ones, and they'd see you too, and you know.
Oh, yeah. They would see you going around and all.
That's right.
And they didn't catch you out there with a fish, but they.
That's right. And they want to catch your fish and that and all. Yeah. And as long as you could figure them as like this figuring you, well, you's all right.
But tell them about George Baltonite.
Yes, let's
hear about George. This is so much
fun. Run in on us one night down there.
We used to just laugh at him.
I told. One night I seen the light coming. I said, well, here comes a man. What y'all gonna do? George said, let's get away from him. I said, well, you better get in the boat because I'm gone. He bailed over in the boat with him, and then him and his brother John Henry and brother Pat. Now he eased on around. Well, they was hugging the shore around. I just eased off this one, fell right in behind him. Went on to the hill. George, he got up and he told John Henry, called him him. He said, him? He said, get out. Let's walk through the hammock to the truck. John Henry wouldn't get out, and he said, now, y'all just asking for trouble. He couldn't talk plain. He said, I'm doing mine to holler just as loud as I can. He said, I'm doing crazy as hell. I'm doing crazy as hell. He said, y'all asking for trouble? I said, no, we ain't. Let's go on back and go fishing. I'm not going. He says, they're out there. I said, I know they're out there. Just seen them. But I said, they don't know we out here. As long as they're gone on the other way, why, we can go fishing. But he did. He finally come back. He got nerve enough to fall back in the boat and blow like a bear. And he didn't want to at all.
What do you mean blow like a bear?
And he just, you know, puff up and let it go. He was scared, you know, he was full of air and he had to let it out.
He's scared.
Yeah, he's scared.
You know, I've seen John Henry, and I've even spoken to him. I never seen George.
You know, you hardly ever.
He
likes
falling in that bed all day long.
Well, he's got kidney trouble.
Kidney trouble, my foot.
Lazy trouble about to kill him.
He's just lazy, just
like. I don't.
He's got a boy that lies up and been in the bed the whole summer long. My God. Let
big
his hair grow
power.
And his mustache, his beard. Him a young man. Lays in the bed. Gets up and eats and goes right back to bed. He did it for about three summers. And he gets up about this, when hunting season opens,
just
and go a hunting
season.
A few times and go right back in and hibernate like
that. When season's over, well, he'll hit the bed again. He calls it hitting the sight. That's what he does. And he'll stay there.
And lie there. Well, I can't believe anybody could do that.
I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
He's the one that was a GI?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was in service.
Virgil?
Well, both of them was
yes,
in. Both of them was in service. The Don was in
boss.
Service too.
Huh?
Don, the oldest one, he was in service.
Yeah.
And both of them were.
Well, now, that's how come they got that house. Was that through Virgil in the service? He got a little money in the army.
No.
Oh no, that's the old home place. Yeah. That was their. Grandmother Johnson's place.
The one they live in?
Yeah.
What?
Not the house there.
Oh, yeah.
So they built that house.
Well,
George Baltonite went over to Gainesville one time, and he was barefooted and had on an old pair of raggedy pants and an old raggedy coat and went to the Buick place, and the man even wouldn't talk to him about selling him a Buick. But he told the man, I come to buy a Buick.
He picked him out one.
And he picked him out one and pulled out the cash and paid for it.
And the man wouldn't even talk to him about it.
He wouldn't even talk to him about it because he didn't think. He was barefooted.
Raggedy.
You know him back then?
George,
yeah, sure.
I know George all my life.
I know
raised with him.
George Boltonite was raised right there. He was just a little fella.
Well,
yeah, we come up together, us and the Boltonite boy.
When he's out there on that boat and puffing, you see, like a bear, he gets scared.
He was just scared, that's right. I mean, after, if a cow gets after you or something, and passes by you and goes on off by the bed and she's gone. She ain't coming back. That's just like the game wardens.
He'd have come back if he'd have known you'd have been out there.
Yeah, but
there.
He didn't know it.
Well, I know. You were right nervy.
And if you hide from that cow and then come out after she's gone on, she don't know you out there.
You know,
either.
I believe my little cow's bags this spring.
Oh, make it gorgeous.
I sure do. I believe she's springing a bag.
My cow that was going to spring in November is still not springing.
She's not.
But she's getting bigger. She shows it.
Mm-hmm.
John Henry didn't go out fishing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John, he was... It didn't make much difference to him.
He wasn't scared?
No, he wasn't too scared of it. He's just like it, young.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he go barefooted?
John, no. Well, John wore his shoes more than George did.
Yeah.
But he'd go barefooted a whole lot. But what is one thing I want to tell you is I got to thinking about that. You know, when there was boys, younger boys, you know, just young fellas, in the teens, they had a little old Model T Model T. Roadster, you know, skeeter-like. We called them skeeters because the top was off of it, you know. And it was coming out. They didn't have any lights on it. And it was coming out from the around the Fairbanks Landing, we call it. They'd been back there fishing and night overtaking. And it was dark and they didn't have any lights on that old car. So George told John Henry to get up and get some of them old from, you know, fans, them old Parramatta fans.
Cabbage palm fans.
And light them and hold it up so he could see how to get out of the hammock. Well, he did that, and they hadn't paved that highway through there then. And they said they seen a car coming with the lights, and John Henry told George, says, hurry up now and get to that road and get ahead of that car, and we can drive ahead of them in their lights and see how they get home. And said the car looked up, seen that ball of fire coming through the woods, and said, lights just went out. Said, he runs so fast. He got away from that. George said that was the fastest thing he ever saw in his life. John Henry sitting up there with that fire hole in it so George could see how to drive, and him sitting on the hood of the automobile. And George driving. And you imagine driving the road and see something like that coming out of a swamp.
You know, you get so your eyes can see almost in the dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live back in the woods,
yeah,
where you don't have all the big neon stuff. But I guess you still need a little light.